This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 317 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my Talk Franklin conversation with our town administrator, Jamie Helen, and communications specialist, Anne-Marie Tracy. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about current town news, solar info sessions scheduled for next AMP, August 25th and 26th, the Cannabis Info Session, August 6th, Hazard Mitigation Plan and a Public Hearing, July 28th, the Think Blue Franklin campaign just starting, the next spotlight is on the Senior Center, and the Fire Department Promotions event held this past Wednesday, July 22nd. We also get into the next set of meetings featuring the School Committee meeting, July 28th, Town Council meeting rescheduled for July 29th. Then we also get into reopening. Governor Baker just issued a new executive order with travel requirements for those people coming to Massachusetts or for Massachusetts folks returning to the state. We also get into the plastic bag prohibition, which is now rescheduled for August 1 with a waiver for November 1. And finally, Concerts on the Common opens tonight in the first of several Fridays, paired with the Farmers Market on the Town Common as well from 12 to 6. Then Concerts on the Common begins at 6:30. There's two bands playing. There's also a movie night. The recording runs around 48 minutes. So let's listen to my conversation with Jamie and Anne-Marie.
And we're underway. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM, and 102.9 on their local radio dial here in the Franklin Arena. Today, for our next Talk Franklin session with Town Administrator Jamie Helen and Marketing Communications Specialist Anne-Marie Tracy. Good afternoon, folks. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Good to be with you.
It's another Friday in summer, and you know, even though things are summer,
I'm dropping right in with the Red Sox. I will never, ever, ever forgive them for Mookie Betts. I'm on the record. Horrible, indeed. No matter what way you call it.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible decision to the Red Sox, but you know, it's part of New Englander.
Yeah. And that's sports business.
And I think you know, at least we got some live baseball tonight, and it counts with fake heads and fake noise. But, you know, it's good to see Benintendi and Martinez and all those guys run out in the field and be able to do something. You know, it does make it feel like summer again.
Yep. I'm happy for Mookie. He certainly has some money. He should be, if he manages it well, he should be set for a while. But, yeah, we're going to miss him for sure.
What a guy. Just a once-in-a-lifetime personality. But, you know, that's the way it works sometimes, I guess. $392 million over 13 years.
That's incredible.
I can understand the hesitation from any franchise. You know, good for him, but, you know, wow, what a contract.
Yeah, for sure.
That'll take him through the next pandemic, you know, another decade. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
So, yes.
Well deserved. He seems like quite an athlete and quite a person. So, definitely miss him.
So we'll use that contract as this point. It looks like, and I know we've talked about the solar plant or solar farm coming into Spring Street, but it looks like there's information sessions around an opportunity they're offering to the community that are coming up.
Yeah, so we sent out the notice yesterday. As part of the mitigation or agreement with the proponent on the solar farm, there was a lot of public benefits to that, actually. One, there's a payment in lieu of taxes agreement where the town will be recruiting some revenue for that project, which is going to obviously help the town's budget situation in the coming years. It's a 20-year agreement where they're going to be paying us basically a couple million over – a little bit less than a couple million over 20 years. For that. In addition, they're building a parking lot up on the top of Spring Street.
Right.
Which is part of our grand master plan about getting more access into the state forest.
Eventually,
I think what you're going to see is we're going to try to decommission Spring Street, but we're going to have a parking lot up there. For folks that don't know, we have the new parking lot down on the other side of the state forest off Grove Street, which was great. And as another impact of that agreement is we negotiated with them a little bit more than they normally do, but they do usually offer residents in the communities that they're in to buy in essentially to get some electricity savings, 15% electricity savings on their electricity bills if they sign up for the program with NextAmp. As folks also maybe know, in the community, we've announced many times, and there'll be a lot more promotion coming out over the course of the next couple months on this too, but we did get a 10 cent, just over a 10 cent kilowatt stability for the next 3 years through municipal aggregation. We signed up for a contract earlier this winter, spring. And, you know, looking at that now, it looks like a great deal because at least families out there are going to have a lot of stability in their electricity rates, and they're going to have a lot of options. And so we know that the Community Preservation Act is on the ballot. The town council voted unanimously to put that on in November. We know that water rates are going to be increasing to pay for the water treatment plant. And we all know that people like to obviously add up and complain about where the cost increases are going, rightfully so, especially in times like these. But we also have to accommodate and highlight the things that do go well. And here's an opportunity through either, if you do nothing, you'll end up saving money in the future through just the municipal aggregation. And if you want to sign up for the NextAmp program, I'm sure the devil is in the details. I don't see why these both can't be exercised together, but I really want to encourage people to show up for the listening sessions, and or they can sign up right now and then work through the terms and conditions that the company and the private property owner in Franklin who signs up for this. Like any agreement that you, most of us never read, but we click the button that says, I agree to these terms and conditions. A lot of these questions that people are going to have are in those terms and conditions. So this may be one of those terms and conditions that you don't just check the box and hit accept. And maybe people actually want to take a few minutes to scan through it. And maybe some of their individual questions can be answered through that. It's about 800 slots. So it's not few. It's not the whole town. You have to go do it. And so I would encourage every resident to hop on to our social media pages and our website. The town calendar does have both meetings on there, including the Zoom links in August. So folks, if they're interested in signing up for this, please go do it now. Early birds get the worm.
Correct. And to the extent that even if you go municipal aggregation, as I recall, a bunch of that is solar
wind.
Or green energy.
100% wind.
Wind, right. So you get the green energy component. This gives you the solar, which is still green energy to that extent. And the only people who should consider, you know, really, really the fine details are those who already have some solar agreement and or some other private contract. That's where those terms and conditions, and clearly these two, from what I've read so far, we can opt in and opt out. Some of the other contracts you may not have that flexibility for.
I think if you're, you know, that's a great point, Steve. I think that's a lot of good points. But I think also, you know, if you're looking to save a few bucks, you know, you got to put a few minutes into it. You know, I mean, I think that there's a lot of options out there for people. And the town administrator or the council, these are things we offer the public, right? These are good ways to save money in your household right now if you're on a shoestring budget. You know, there's also embedded in a lot of these programs, Steve, you know, other ways to reduce your energy consumption without just being the rate or the source.
Sure.
Right. You know, I mean, you know, my mother was a hawk on shutting off the lights. I mean, you had to be there to believe it. But just a hawk on turning off every light everywhere you weren't were in the house. And that's annoying to hear from someone like me, but it really is true when there's a lot of other things you can do in your household to reduce energy consumption, which continues to save people money. So it's a good time to look at this stuff, especially given these offerings that are there for this one time only. So people should really check out those.
Yeah, and to the one time only, clearly on the NextAmp. But even if somebody has an existing contract today, and for conversation's sake, it's only going to expire, say, mid next year. At that point in time, they can still come into municipal aggregation so that they can still save. At that point, NextAmp may not be an option, but municipal aggregation, at least for the contract period, it's going forward, and we've already know the rate for 3 years. So that's one of the key pieces that while they're locked for a time period, at when that time period ends, they still have an option.
One last quick point too. You know, I'm happy to do the best I can to answer taxpayer questions. But both of these resources have dedicated phone lines and contact methods to the people who are running these programs. I really encourage people to,
give them a call.
Read the announcements and contact those folks with very detailed questions. Because it's one thing I hadn't thought of. If you have a private solar contract already or solar panels in your house, you know, you're locked into a rate for a year or 6 months, you may have more options down the line too. And that's why we're doing this. We're setting this up so that people can get in touch with the experts that are running these options for people. And it can be very customized in terms of they know the right questions to ask the resident. I may not know all those right questions on how to ask.
And, oh, yeah.
Nor should I. I know some of them, but, you know, I'm not the expert in all this. They are.
We just know who to point people to get the questions answered. Right. Yes.
I just try to give people ways to save money as best as I can. And this is obviously an area that we've been working on for quite some time.
Yep.
I can tell you as someone who clicked on it yesterday, because as a resident, I'm interested. And I clicked on it and entered some information. So I can tell anyone out there that one of the things that you would need to have on hand in order to initialize the whether or not you're eligible and just sort of get the ball rolling would be a recent copy of your electric bill. So I didn't have that on hand when I went to click on. I have to scan it, so I have to go back and do that. But then in the meantime, I received a phone call about an hour later asking if I had any questions. So they were very responsive, even to someone just expressing interest online.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Excellent. Yeah, and most...
A great tip.
National Grid, at least their website allows you to download in PDF form, so you don't have to scan.
Yeah,
it's available
I was just going to press a bunch of buttons and be done, and then I needed
not
to
quite.
Do the things.
And yeah, yeah, devil's in the details.
Yep.
Yep. But on the information session front, there's another one with another cannabis operation coming into Franklin.
Yeah, there's a community impact meeting for PharmaCannabis. They're down at 164 Grove Street. They bought the land several years ago, actually. They already have a well-established reputation in Massachusetts. There are other stores, I believe, down in the Cape and in Buzzard Bay. It's actually a local business owner. It's an opportunity for people to ask questions, in terms of this is a requirement of the state. It's not a local planning board thing. Their planning board hearing starts soon, but it's next week. I think it's the germane issue here is that, people call me all the time, actually, and they go, hey, did you see the lines over in Millis? There's a store over in Millis, I guess, right? And people drive by that are locals, and they go, well, the line's out the door, there's 20 people, blah, blah, blah. In these tough budget times, I hate to say it, but these are critical economic development projects. If the two proponents that are bringing forth the facilities combined would be a guaranteed $600,000 a year for 5 years, which is $3 million. And then in addition to that, there's also a 3% sales tax on top of that. I think that we already have a policy in place on this that we're going to use the sales tax money for capital projects, open space, ball fields, police cruisers, fire trucks, DPW trucks, road work, real one-time stuff, because those monies can go up and down like meals and hotel.
Right.
In fact, we look really good right now in the way that we budget meals tax and hotel tax money because – it's not, obviously they've plummeted quite a bit.
Yeah.
This is a really big opportunity to do several things. One other thing in revenue for that is not only the $3 million over 5 years, but also in the sales tax, which is probably another couple million, each year. The properties are going to be cleaned up. We're talking about a couple of properties. One's unbuildable. One's, been in rough shape. We're talking about millions of dollars in investment in those properties, which is also going to bring in additional property value
mm-hmm.
to growth. So You know, I've said it before at the planning board meeting, and I'll say it again. You know, I know some people, you know, disagree with, you know, how these things are happening, but from a purely business perspective, if this store was in Bellingham down the street, you'd get no money and still the impact. And if people, I think we haven't really explained this story as much to people. We've tried, but it's hard to get out. Is the plan here on a lot of the impact fee money is to probably use for a couple places. Number one is the school district, which the $300,000 is in the budget this year.
Right.
For the school district to get counselors as well as drug educational programs in the middle school. And to me, I've always thought that's where the rubber meets the road. If you're going to take this money and have an impact on the trajectory of these issues, you know, you really need to get at it when the kids are in middle school, and there's no trusted resource more than the school district on how to deliver this. And so, you know, really what, you know, this is a good thing to the town economically, and this is a good thing, that, for the community to look at. It's going to certainly help our funding in the school district. We're also putting $25,000 of that money towards the SAFE Coalition.
Correct.
Which is a big victory for them as they have their new site over there.
Yep.
So this money is going to be going towards the impacts associated with what we think of having that culture in Franklin. In the 4 years that Ned has been here, you know, we have not had any incident up there in terms of it's required the police. You know, we obviously had an odor issue that we've been successful in cleaning up, but you know, this hearing this week is with Pharmacanis at 164 Grove Street. And if folks have questions, they're certainly happy to drop me an email or a phone call or attend the hearing next week, in a couple of weeks, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was good to see. I saw Brian Taberno shared, having participated in the work last year, prep to that, and I'll be sharing to the Franklin Matters site this weekend the iteration on the hazard mitigation plan, which is part of that overall, you know, disaster planning that I know the town has been working on. And in this particular piece, another part of the MAPC, I believe, but this was collaboration, one of the first times where it was co-community. So us and Bellingham got together to do that.
Hazard mitigation was, I think it's this Tuesday, July 28th. Folks should go on the calendar, they can get the documents. There's a public hearing on the hazard mitigation plan. It's required by the federal government every 5 years, really dealing mostly with floodplains. I mean, if you're Scituate or Duxbury, you're also dealing with the ocean, right? I mean,
sure.
Climate change a little bit more. You know, I think we're dealing with climate change in terms of drainage, floodplains, the way water runs in and out of town, stormwater, stuff of that sort. And MAPC does a great job on these. I've actually been a part of them in other communities I've worked for. There's nobody better than Martin. So this hearing is for the public to comment on this in July, next week. And then eventually there's another hearing required at the town council level for their approval, which we anticipate will be in the early fall. So if folks do have questions, I think the hot button issue, if I'm a listener out there on your show, this is about drainage. It's about floodplains. I know there's a lot of folks out there through the last rainstorm, but not many on site. I met with a homeowner yesterday, town engineer. You know, this is going to be a reoccurring problem as the 100-year rainstorm comes five times a year now.
Right.
And, you know, it's just the way it is. I can't convince Mother Nature any differently. I would love to if I could. I do the best I can to do the anti-rain dances, but this is something of a reality that's going to come up for a lot of families in Franklin, and people should really you know, tune in to this opportunity or later this fall at the council level if they have any questions.
Yeah, I think that gives us a good segue to think Blue Franklin, because your point, it's part of the overall water management, and you know, Brutus's triad, but now we're thinking blue and trying to use social media to help spread the awareness.
Yes, we definitely are. So Think Blue Franklin was launched last week. We are actually part of a pilot program with a few other towns, not just towns, but some regions as well. And we're working with a company, Think Blue Massachusetts, which is part of the Massachusetts Statewide Municipal Stormwater Coalition.
And that's a mouthful.
That is. I had to write that one down, actually. But basically, it's education. It's using the interactive component of social media to help educate our residents, educate our citizens, and help have them participate in helping to educate their friends and other people that they're connected to. So there's a number of categories for the online contest, which is called Think Blue Franklin. Mm-hmm. And the it's pretty simple to enter. If you're on social media, Franklin has Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter available as a means of entering the contest. Mm-hmm. And there's four categories: storm drains, walking in the rain, smart yard care, and scoop the poop, which was my kid's favorite one.
But of course.
Anyway, it is about education, and if you go onto our website or onto social media, you can find out a little more. But we're trying to make people aware and really take a moment to think about where the water goes and how it could be contaminated, and just simple ways that we as residents can participate in making it cleaner for our community. So if you take a picture in any of those categories and post it on your account with the hashtag ThinkBlueFranklin, tag us. Once it's verified that you've done those quick, simple steps, you'll be sent an entry form, and 20 people will receive $100 Amazon gift cards. So there's some motivation there to participate. We've already received a bunch of them, actually. So and they're fun to see. And the great thing is, so somebody posts it, and then all their friends see it. And underneath it, people are asking about it. Oh, what's this about? This? So right. I'm really hoping that it takes off and we start to see some more entries. We'll be posting some reminders about it. The contest runs through August 16th. So just keep an eye out for information on our social media or our website.
Yeah, I've in my regular walks, there's plenty of opportunities. So I've already got, you know, particular paths to do almost one a day. Mm-hmm. Highlight, you know, the stormwater here or the garden there. I'm really looking forward to a day where I can walk in the rain without fear of thunder and lightning, so I can get into that category. I'm looking forward to that one, but yeah, we'll be patient. But the other thing you've been working on too is the new spotlight. I think you got a spotlight on the senior center coming up.
Yes, we had a few weeks off because obviously July is a time when there's people, you know, coming in and out and taking some time off to be with their families or just to, you know, disconnect for a little bit. But I spoke to Karen Alves and Aaron Rogers at the senior center, and obviously the senior center is such an important place for our community, and visiting it, you know, in normal times, it's just this bustling, happy, great place. There's just so many activities and so many wonderful things happening. And they've been heavily impacted by COVID-19 as probably the most vulnerable population that we have. And just talking to Karen and Aaron about all the different ways they've been serving their community, you know, the needs of their members are diverse. So, you know, there's people who require assistance with obtaining benefits and food insecurity, mm-hmm. and then all the way just to the simple socialization that our seniors are missing out on. So they're doing everything they can while the building is closed. They're reaching out in every way possible, especially to those who, you know, maybe require a little bit more support, or those who aren't online. No, not everyone is. So yeah. They're making. Certainly doing everything they can to have conference calls, social groups, and just really getting creative in how to reach out and keep their community connected. They have the curbside cafe going, and just speaking to them. Obviously, most people know that Karen has been there such a long time, and she's such an integral part of the senior center and its growth and its success. But she has earned her retirement coming up in September. So I spoke to them a little bit about the transition, and just listening to them talk about each other was just really heartwarming. You could tell that they have such a great respect for one another, and and they're not just colleagues. There's a friendship there, and just Karen feels so comfortable leaving, knowing the good hands that the senior center will be in with Aaron, and Aaron feels so comfortable knowing that Karen was her teacher. It was really great to talk to them, and I'm excited to share the spotlight about the senior center and just highlight all the great things that are still happening there.
Definitely.
I cannot say it. Anne-Marie knows this. I mean, you know, it's just, there's no words to describe Karen Allison, and you know, the word that always comes to me the most is comfort. You know, as I joke in the story, I'll give a teaser, you know, Karen is just such a comforting individual. And I've seen it in front of my face in large groups. She just has this laser focus and ability to see in a large crowd where she needs to be to help comfort a senior. She just knows, she's five steps ahead of everybody. And, you know, and it's so hard to ruffle her. It's so hard to ruffle Aaron. I mean, they're just so professional and calm, and compassionate, and comforting. I think they may have to teach me a little bit about not being ruffled. I'm good at it, but you know, probably not as good as Aaron. It's obviously going to be sad to see Karen go. She's, I mean, as much as any department head or any staff member I can think of, and my 5 years here, but going back to Jeff's tenure, back to the early 2000s, I can't think of many other department heads who have had a more substantial impact on the community than Karen. I mean, they were in the basement of a historical museum, completely inadequate. And now you have a literal state-of-the-art facility, programs, engagement, vibrancy. Even what they're doing in COVID is just extremely creative. It's obviously going to be sad to see her go. But I also have to highlight, this is what Franklin does, right? I mean, we've been prepared for this for a long time. We've grown with this. Not every town does this. Very few do. But we do as much as we can. And here's a great example of a succession planning.
Yeah. Having participated in my first quarantini this week via Zoom on Tuesday. It's interesting. One, you can still have fun via Zoom, even if it's, you know, you're not there, obviously. You like to be there, but you're not. Mm-hmm. But there, not everybody from Franklin, you know, people outside Franklin are doing this, right, and coming here for this. The Memory Cafe, there's another session this Monday, and I'll be setting up with Ariel to record it, so it'll be available for future. They're starting to do chair exercises via Zoom. So they are truly, you know, trying to do as much as they can in this virtual world to help that community. And I think that's wonderful. So absolutely. So we did get to meet in person earlier this week with the wonderful fire promotion event.
Speaking of succession planning.
Wednesday.
it was great. Such a great event.
Great event. You know, it'll be shown, I'm sure, on Franklin Matters, Franklin TV. You know, what can I say? I mean, it's a great, you know, as I said in my, you know, limited remarks, I mean, this is something that, you know, working on with, you know, Chuck Allen, Tommy Carlucci for many, many years. It's been a slow going, and you know, my general organizational philosophy, if you will, is to empower a lot of our departments to do what they feel like they need to do. And the accountability and creativity starts there. They come to me for the financials, and the citizen peer review, the ombudsman view. But I mean, I think that what's gone on down there has been obviously quite refreshing, and to see all those smiling faces. And obviously we congratulate all the promotions and the new hire, Dylan Boss. You know, I think everybody who was there obviously felt the moment with newly appointed Lieutenant Lawrie Roy.
Yeah, that was
a special surprised one. Her with her son, who flew back from his military duty.
Yep.
To surprise her out of nowhere, to actually put the pin on her. Lawrie will hopefully not kill me for saying this, but Lawrie, I don't know how often or really how much consideration Lawrie gave to trying to rise up in the ranks in the fire department. We'd always known that she's a great leader. She's one of the experts on infectious disease down there, if not the expert. She's an incredible employee, and to see her engaged like this in the department and be able to take that next step forward has been great. As with everybody, Paul Mola, and, Keith Darling, I mean, the whole list, I could go on with everybody, TK and just the whole department. It was a really exciting moment for the families. It was a great ceremony, we had great weather, and we all got some great pictures that we've been sharing the last few days too, Steve.
Yeah, there was a bunch of photos shared. I shared the audio, which obviously we were on West Central Street, so it's not the highest quality that I'm used to, but it came out pretty good. You could hear everything.
I'm just glad the waste management trucks went by while Chief McLaughlin was speaking. I told him later, I said, if Brutus had to pick somebody, he knows who to pick. He didn't do it during the town administrator's remarks.
Right, right. And the first truck at least went by, and the guy had courtesy to, to toot because he knew what was going on. So that was good.
It was really good. It was really
good. And the video itself, yes, was captured. I live streamed, and there was at least 12 other parties participating remotely during that session. So that was good. The video was captured. So once it's edited in audio, we'll post that so it'll be available for the future. And then we can shift into the meetings coming up next week. Now, school committee, obviously not in your realm, but I know Sarah is busy and the school committee is going to be busy with stuff on reopening, et cetera. But then Wednesday, you've got the town council meeting, which was unfortunately rescheduled due to technical difficulties from last Wednesday.
Yeah, just so folks know, the feed from the municipal building to the station apparently went down in last week's storm. Along with a bunch of other equipment, apparently, last Friday, and so to my knowledge, it's back up and running. Certainly apologize for everybody's inconvenience for tuning in. Fortunately, there wasn't too many people on the call, we are going to get everybody back. Mass Development, MAPC can make this Wednesday for their presentation, so that's good.
Okay.
That was the core of the meeting.
Sure.
And just the newly announced, we are able to maintain the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting on the 30th next week, which is going to be a very short follow-up to the market study analysis that is going to be presented on the 29th. Hopefully,
okay.
We had a week in between, but the EDC agenda got posted today and got sent out, and so that's going to be on the 30th. A couple more meeting dates. Just of note, August 5th is going to be a stormwater ad hoc committee meeting. Agenda will be coming out shortly. And August 20th at 6:30 will be another EDC meeting for the month of August. Those look to be the main meetings. And there's a council meeting on August 12th, I should say.
Right.
And those seem to be the next four meetings that are going to be going on in July and August before we hit September.
It's coming quick.
Yeah, I don't want to say that word. There's a lot of activity. We're really as busy as ever. I mean, I think that the organization is in a good place with the low COVID numbers. We're kind of taking it slow and steady. We want people to kind of enjoy a little bit of summer, since how we really had everybody had such a rough, winter and spring and early summer. Enjoy themselves a little. But we stay busy as ever. There's a lot going on. So those are the next meetings on the schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that gives us an opportunity to segue into the other reopening because of the COVID and pandemic we're in. But as we know, Governor Baker just today issued a new executive order around travel for masks returning or others coming into Massachusetts. New restrictions, so those will get promulgated through the usual channels.
Well, I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean,
yeah.
I put out an employee memo to all of our employees at the beginning of July when we went to the next phase three, and now we have a lot of employees back in the building and whatnot in the admin buildings. But I think, you know, probably goes against a lot of what a lot of us believe in. But I have to assure everybody that you will not see an economic revival until you solve the public health crisis.
I concur.
And the public health crisis is still focused number one. We're doing it right. If you look at the New York Times today on the front page, there's a very in-depth story about how New England is now sticking out as the area of the country that has solved this problem when we had the worst problem 4 months ago.
Yep.
We're in the same league with Italy and Spain and these other countries that nipped it in the bud. We are where we're at. We will say it a million times. We can't go back. And that means that we have to be more diligent. I am aware of cases, and I'm aware of it, circumstances in Massachusetts and certainly even in Franklin where people have gone out of state to other states and have gotten COVID and come back. It's just the way it is. And it's against our individualistic notion in America. It could be certainly issues that people, the constitutionalists, may raise. You saw the state of Connecticut is considering or enacted $1,000 fine if people are caught. These are egregious things. They're not popular. They're not fun.
No.
They don't make people like me happy. But we can't. It is what it is. It's just the facts, and it's hard to say, and it's hard to rationalize with.
Yeah. But
I mean, I give the governor. They're also having a discussion. I think today and the next week, you're going to see a discussion about mandating masks indoors at all times. There's some it's still being shaped, it's just getting at some of this, I would say minority friction out there where you're having these issues of people not trying to be cute, cover up their nose with their shirt, not wear a mask. They're trying every way to find a way not to put on a mask for whatever reason or face covering. And I think that a lot of business owners have certainly had that frustration across Massachusetts. I think they've made that very clear to a lot of the legislators, which is why they're considering this.
Yeah.
These are tactics and policies that I think are certainly will be perceived by some to be over the top. And I could concur with them, but they're effective. They're factually effective. And if we don't protect what we have in Massachusetts, which is our citizens and our kids,
our health,
we're going to destroy our economy as well.
Yep.
Because as I mentioned at a meeting a couple weeks ago, if you're a restaurant in Franklin and you say you bring in $50,000 a week in revenue, and just by people not feeling comfortable, and if they don't go out to eat, and you cut off a quarter or a half of their revenue pie, how long can that restaurant survive on half of what it used to have? The federal benefits are going to end up someday getting cut off. And whether it's this month, 3 months, 6 months, 8 months, you have to be cognizant of that. Additionally, while we all want to rely on the federal government to bail us out, eventually somebody's going to have to pay that bill. And that may not be for 2 years. That may not be for a year. Okay. But we're digging ourselves financially into a bigger ditch at the federal level too. And all of this assistance is meant to be a bridge from point A to point B. And if point B is not getting rid of this virus, having a vaccine, having a way to treat these cases, but more importantly, making people feel comfortable that they can go out, even when there is a vaccine, to go out and they're not going to get it, that they have to use the vaccine. We're digging ourselves into an era of chaos here that's going to be awfully difficult to clean up. And I think that, unfortunately, Governor Baker and the New England governors, both Republicans and Democrats, by the way, and with Governor Cuomo, I think they've done a hell of a job slow and steady into this. Mm-hmm. And we're in a really good place, especially in Franklin, where we only have a few cases. We won't get an update on the caseload until Monday, by the way, on the full numbers of
That was part of the update today because they changed the reporting requirements, went from 40 data points to 90 something, and there was definition changes. They're still struggling compiling the numbers, so it's not surprising.
And I hope I don't sound hokey by saying this, but you know, I'm a family just like everybody else. Anne Marie's a family just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Steve, you know, we're all, you know, I mean, I kind of sat down with my extended relatives, my dad, my wife, everybody else, just like Anne Marie has with her family, and said, okay, we need to take a little bit of a break. You know, I said to my wife, and my wife said to me, we're gonna spend our money in New England for the next year.
Right.
You know, and we're not going anywhere. And we're big travelers, you know, yes. Why we live. Anne Marie is too. I know we've.
I love travel. I miss it.
I mean, we miss it, but there's a lot in Massachusetts that people can do to have a lot of fun. And that does two things. One, it keeps us all safe. Two, it doesn't spread the virus. And three, right. You're putting your own money back into your own economy to keep that business level afloat. And so, you know, at this point, you know, I've tried to mentally prepare myself and my family for being in a position where we can keep everybody safe and alive for a long time. You know, we have elders in our family that are in tough shape, and I haven't seen my dad in a long time either. You know, but, you know, I just think that, you know, there's a kind of a double victory out of that. And I nobody wants to go to California more than me, or, you know, go do exciting national park tours and hikes and, but I
just want to be able to visit, you know, I think I'm sure I speak for many people, you know, my family, my sister, my niece is there in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is not on the list. And, right. You know, I've had to say, it's just, you know, it's just the way it is right now. And I'm thinking long-term, I'm in for the long haul, and this is just how we need to live for a little while in order to get out of this as quickly as possible, as safely as possible. No one wants to cancel anything, or reschedule. It's just the way it is right now, and it's for the best, in my opinion.
Yeah, health first, masks where necessary, washing the hands, social distancing, all those good things.
I cannot tell you how many folks, Steve, that I've talked to in Franklin who, you know, they may be retired. They went out to lunch a couple times a week with all their girlfriends or guy friends. And they're like, we, you know, we're not taking a chance.
Right.
Now, and that audience is a huge audience, right?
Sure.
And Dean College made the announcement that they're not going to bring any students back. That's going to have a huge economic impact on Franklin.
Right.
And
a lot of students,
you know, I think Dr. Rooney made an extraordinarily astute decision, as she oftentimes does. And it's a hard one. I would not want to be in her shoes. She's a few weeks ahead of the governor on this one too. I mean, she made this announcement a couple weeks ago, and his focus today at the announcement, I believe, Steve, was largely focused on returning students to colleges, which is, we are one of the biggest college states in the United States. Boston is one of the biggest college towns.
Yep.
And having that influx of students would have been very challenging.
Absolutely. Yeah. Certainly the three pieces, as I recall, travel has started increasing. I think he phrased it from very low to low, but it's been an increase. And certainly internal, if, you know, mass residents have been traveling, as well as, the incoming folks, whether to the Cape or other resort areas, and then certainly the school population. So. Yeah. There's a lot of that. So health first. Also related to health, though, with the change on the plastic bags, now you get a chance to put our own bag prohibition with a new date on it.
Yep. So right when we passed the bylaw, COVID hits a few weeks later, we have to postpone the bylaw. We had meant to give several months of advance notice. Most of the businesses in Franklin were already complied.
Right.
We didn't think it was a heavy lift. Did July 1st. And then people asked us, well, what about the ban? Then we told people it's on hold. And then right when we told people it was on hold, 2 days later, the Commissioner of Public Health said you can do it again, which I think is the right thing to do. Now it's going to be August 1st. But the waiver will also be there for businesses that want to still need 3 more months to transition.
Okay.
So the waiver, the ban really goes into effect August 1st.
Okay.
We do expect a majority of businesses, you know, maybe a few aside, the grocery stores, they're already spent. We do expect a lot of businesses to take advantage of that waiver. You know, the staff in the office are coordinating all that. So,
yeah, that's fair. I think I've already seen Big Y calling for, you know, start bringing your bags back, et cetera. So I'm sure some of the others will start doing that as well.
And it is a creature of habit. I'm a bag guy, right? And I got really irritated. I have all these plastic bags, which drive me insane.
Right.
I agree.
And then I went to the grocery store the first week. I went to the grocery store the first week I could bring them, and I totally forgot them at home.
I've been missing my reusable bags because I have the ones that are coolers, you know, they're all insulated.
Yes.
So in the summer, you know, if you run in a couple of places, they're great. So I'm very happy that they're back.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And speaking of things that are also coming back, we do have concerts on the Common. Now, not everybody will listen to this on the radio this Friday, but at least for the next couple of Fridays, Concerts on the Common will be back.
Yes, and the movies.
And the movies. That's right, Anne-Marie. Toy Story 4 tonight. I don't know what's next week, but the original plan was to link up Concerts in the Common from Wednesdays to Fridays,
right.
Link up with the farmer's market,
sure.
Have a beer garden, food trucks, and make it more of an event. Obviously, we're not doing all of that. The farmer's market is open from 12 to 6 every Friday still. And we hope Ryan Jetty, as we talked about off air, is up there on the Common painting the circles as we talk and getting ready for tonight, 6 feet apart. There'll be some smaller circles, bigger circles. They're going to be all over the place. You know, it's a privilege, not a right. We hope that people will do the right thing and be courteous to one another. We also know the excitement will be high. People want to run around and do what they used to do. You know, I think if this goes well, we'll be able to continue the season. If this goes not so well, you know, we'll have to pull the plug.
Right.
And so hopefully people will enjoy this. It'll be a whole new environment. Like I was talking to Ray on my morning show this morning with him every month. You know, he's obviously part of the acts they're playing tonight. And I think for performers, this will be different. But there will be an ice cream truck there for the kids, maybe the adults too.
Big kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody loves ice cream.
Wow. I got to tell you, how about last week with National Ice Cream Week? I mean, there was no ice cream anywhere in the store. I'm so glad I packed up my freezer the weekend before. I had no idea it was National Ice Cream Week. And I went into, my wife wanted something. I went in, the whole place is decimated.
Yep.
So,
big run.
Yeah, big run. So it might be a good opportunity to go up there and just be able to sit under the stars and get some fresh air and enjoy something live and in person again.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And then look forward for more Fridays. And again, assuming we all do things like we've talked about, wearing masks, social distancing, washing our hands, doing the good things, will gradually expand accordingly. So.
Well, we saw this too with the Black Box. You know, I mean, Jamie Barra went up into the show. I know there's a few other shows. You know, Alex Funkhauser is going to do a gig. And, you know, they have a bunch of stuff booked out. Michaela Brown and stuff for a few weeks. And, you know, they're trying to inch into this too. You know, they're being really conscientious and safe up there. And, you know, it's different, but at least it's something. And like I always say in the show, let's not focus on what we don't have. Hopefully we can focus on what we do have and at least enjoy and take advantage of what we do have right now. And relative to the rest of the United States of America, we have a lot of flexibility and freedom, a lot more than a lot of other states, to be able to go out and do something in this extremely hot, humid, dense, wet environment.
Yeah. So stay cool in the meantime.
That's right.
Well, thank you for your time. Anything else to just close off with? Or I think we certainly covered a bunch.
I think we did. We did it right on time, too, Steve.
Yeah.
How about
timing,
that?
For sure.
We're becoming a lean machine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. I appreciate it, Steve. And hope you have a good weekend. Anne-Marie, have a great weekend,
too. Yes. Both of you, too. Enjoy.
Looking forward to it.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.